Look, I think there's a lot of support for Israel, obviously, on the Republican side. Clearly, on the Democrat side, they have a real division over that. It's been pretty shameful, actually, that leading Democrats are turning their backs on Israel at this most desperate and important time.
Speaker of the House Mike Johnson, who is finding himself in an interesting, awkward, uncomfortable position, and I don't think he deserves to be in that uncomfortable position. And I think that the Republican Party is walking down a road, going down a pathway here that they should not be going down with the Speaker of the House. Johnson says he won't change rules for ousting speakers after warnings from GOP hardliners. Colorado Representative Lauren Boebert has called the issue a red line. If you want to change the rules because, you know, House Speaker Mike Johnson on Thursday quashed rumors that he was considering making changes to rules that would make it more difficult to oust him or any other speaker from the leadership post after Republican hardliners, ABC News writing, warned it was a red line he shouldn't cross. Speaker Johnson, in a statement posted on X, criticized the current rule allowing a single member of the House of Representatives to offer a motion to vacate the Speaker's chair, saying it has harmed the office and the Republican Party's majority in the House. But he said that rule would stand for now. He wrote on X, "Recently, many members have encouraged me to endorse a new rule to raise this threshold. While I understand the importance of that idea, any rule change requires a majority of the full House, which we do not have." That is, don't have the full majority to change the rule. They do have a majority of the House, but he knows that there would not be enough Republicans voting to change the rule, so they would not be able to change the rule, and it would just be another futile effort. "We will continue to govern under the existing rules." Now, throughout the day yesterday, the Republican parties had a number of people on the right flank, ABC News says, had sought assurances that Johnson would not consider a change to the threshold to advance a motion to vacate. Now, here's the trick here. With such a slender majority in the House, every Democrat will vote in favor of creating chaos for the Republican Party. And if it makes the Republican Party look bad, then every Democrat will vote to make the Republican Party look bad. And if they get just a couple of Republican votes, then they can kick the Speaker of the House out, and then the Democrats will move to make Hakeem Jeffries, an extreme leftist, a radical, anti-American, racist, anti-Semite, raised by his, mentored by his uncle, Professor Leonard Jeffries, who is an extreme radical and a vile anti-Semite. But never mind that. It's okay when you're a Democrat, obviously. We see it all over the country now. But I'm not in favor of kicking the Speaker of the House out. And then what? Then who's the new Speaker? Is that Speaker going to put the border first? And then what happens when a slender majority still in the House passes something that, if you can even pass it, that every single Democrat opposes, then it goes to the Senate, it doesn't go anywhere. Thank you very much. More stupidity, more gridlock. And I got to tell you, I think Mike Johnson, as Speaker, is trying to restore sanity, which is sometimes known as regular order. And I think he needs a break. And the Republican Party should be on the Republican Party's team. And it's pretty clear that he's trying to restore regular order by breaking up this giant omnibus ridiculous bill that nobody reads that adds $1.5 trillion to our debt and throws money all over the place and people are skimming all over the place. But let's break it up like a normal, functional Congress run by adults and debate the Israel aid and then vote on it. It's a bill all by itself. That's what Mike Johnson is trying to establish. Then, separately, aid for Taiwan because the commies in China are a threat to civilization, and debate if we're going to, and we're going to, like it's a foregone conclusion, we're going to give billions to Israel, we're going to give billions to Taiwan and the Indo-Pacific. We're going to give billions to Ukraine. And then he wants to have a, and he wants these to be separate bills. That's how it's supposed to be. And it would be refreshing to see a couple of days debating a multi-billion dollar spending bill for Israel and then separately for the Indo-Pacific. And then, you know, the Democrats just want to throw another $60 billion at Ukraine with nobody watching where the money goes, because they presumably are skimming and getting pieces of the $60 billion because they're profoundly corrupt. But that said, you know, my situation is, you know, don't give the Democrats everything they want, the chaos, the anarchy. Unseat another Speaker of the House. Where does it go? How far back do you have to go to find a Republican Speaker of the House that didn't have a nightmare experience? Boehner, you know, how far back do you have to go? Honestly, try to restore some semblance of order. Let the Democrat Party be the anarchists. Don't help them. And don't give them the opportunity to steal the Speaker's gavel and give it to a radical extremist in Hakeem Jeffries. But if you can't tell me who the next Speaker is going to be ahead of time, and what does the new Speaker promise, how is the new Speaker going to change things, he or she, how are they going to make it better than it is today? And if you can't tell me it's going to be this person and here's how it's going to be better, then, you know, quite honestly, sit down and shut up. You're not making things better. You're just blowing things up again. And we don't really need that. That's kind of my position on it. Now, speaking of the Democrat Party, and I don't know where it's going to go from here. Nobody knows where it's going to go from here. But the news media is out to get Mike Johnson, and there are Democrats who are saying, well, we can save your job, Speaker Johnson. That's not the position you want to put the Republican Speaker in. And it's Republican members of the House that are putting the Speaker in that position. Let's all breathe like normal people. Let's see if we can restore regular order as it used to be known. Have committees take up bills, debate, bring to the floor, vote. You might even get a day or two of news discussion on cable television and in the newspapers about a single issue instead of another omnibus at $1.5 trillion and nobody knows what's in it. Enough of that. That is a complete corruption of our system of government, and it's time we put an end to that. That'd be a good start just to end that. And, you know, I don't want to just throw another $60 billion at Ukraine. I'm fine with the Israel aid. We should talk about Taiwan aid because communist China. Ukraine is something that we should be debating hotly. And, you know, there are good reasons to not throw another $60 billion at Ukraine. But this is the old, and it's politics, you know, all of this, these people are politicians. That's their job description. That's because they're in politics. And when it comes to Ukraine and funding, oh, you're supporting Putin. It's the old, you know, your Russian agents thing. And it's stupid. And it's, but you have to have a single topic to debate and to argue back and forth so it doesn't get lost in the maelstrom again, which is what so frequently happens. House Speaker could have spent $60 billion in military aid in Ukraine, but it would have split his caucus. Yeah, it would have. And it should, because this should be debated. The Democrats don't want to debate anything. They just want to throw hundreds of billions, no, trillions of dollars at everything because they don't care that we've got a $34 trillion national debt, the old left-wing Cloward and Piven strategy, instructed the left that they would bankrupt the United States of America and therefore collapse capitalism worldwide, the Cloward and Piven strategy, by overloading the U.S. economy and bankrupting us by creating a national debt that could not be sustained. And we're well on our way. We need adults in charge with a calm voice and cool hand. You know, like Cool Hand Luke. But I'm telling you. You think Newt Gingrich would have lasted in this environment? He might be the last successful Republican Speaker of the House. The last successful Democrat Speaker of the House was Nancy Pelosi. She was successful at destroying a great deal. She wrecked a lot because that's what the Democrats do. But she advanced the Democrat Party agenda very successfully. And honestly, Newt, do you think Newt could survive in this environment? I don't know. I was talking to my friend Marty about it, who's a smart guy, and Marty's like, yeah, you think Newt would last 6 months? I don't know. Good question, though. I'm telling you. Yes, sir. All right, now there's a lot to get to because a lot has happened since last we convened. And there are lots of people on the line who want to talk about this. And I should go talk to the nice people, too. But I need to get to Israel striking Iran, which happened overnight, and to all the Democrats out in the street yesterday supporting Iran because they're not on our side and they're genocidal anti-Semites, the mainstream of the Democrat Party. And then there's the transgender would-be mass murderer in Montgomery County that the news media won't call transgender because they're corrupt politicians posing as journalists. And I want to get to that as well. Honestly. We sell T-shirts and coffee mugs at the Chris Plant store on Al Gore's Amazing Internet that say simply and eloquently, "Remember normal." We are far from normal here in the United States right now. And going back to normal, the Democrats are anti-normal in every imaginable way. But we need to get this country back on track. And that might begin by reestablishing regular order in the House of Representatives and bringing back the Sesame Street version of how a bill becomes a law. Because we don't do that anymore. We've corrupted everything. Regular order would mean there's one bill for aid to Israel, and it is debated, comes out of committee, goes to the full House, it's debated again. Then it's voted up or down. Money is added or taken away. There are specifics added because you have amendments, which we don't do anymore because our Congress is so corrupt because of people like Nancy Pelosi and the Lizard King, Chuck Schumer. And when you try to bring it back to normal, you shouldn't get hit over the head by your own party, I think. I haven't seen Newt Gingrich talking about this. I'd like to see what he has to say. Let's go to the telephones. Let's go to Bob calling from Chattanooga, Tennessee. Bob, you're on the Chris Plant Show.
Thank you for taking my call. It's Schoolhouse Rock, by the way, not Sesame Street, just so you know.
I'm sorry, you're right. I was never
I'm
a child.
I'm only a bill. I'm sitting here on Capitol Hill.
Schoolhouse Rock, you are right. Thank you for that. Yeah, I was never a child, so I never took that stuff in.
Well, given your arguments against funding Ukraine, which I definitely agree with, by the way, why wouldn't those same arguments apply to Israel? I mean, how much of the money that we're giving them would just come back to U.S. politicians in the form of bribes from AIPAC? I mean, how popular is this bombing campaign with Americans? I mean, I know it's popular with Congress, but, you know, they've destroyed some of the oldest Christian churches in Gaza, and I wonder how popular really it is with the American people, do you think?
Well, these are perfectly good questions, and I love the fact that as Americans, we can agree and disagree, and we can agree to disagree. And this is why Congress needs to take up these bills as standalone pieces of legislation and be debated as standalone pieces of legislation and not in these 6,000-page omnibus bills that nobody reads and nobody knows what's in them. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. I thought that the problem with Mike Johnson was that he was pushing the omnibus bill and was not going to break it up. I thought that's what Marjorie Taylor Greene was getting upset about, is why don't we break these up one at a time? And Mike Johnson was the one saying, let's go ahead and vote on the omnibus bill.
Well, I know there's been a lot of back and forth, but I know that now, at least, and I'm not sure how he's evolved on this, but now he is the champion of breaking them up into restoring regular order, which he talked about when he first came in as Speaker as well. But I know that Marjorie Taylor Greene, and I understand this completely too. Borders should come first before anything else. And I understand that, 100% understand that. And Congress should be fighting that out. And they are right now, quite honestly, fighting that out. And should border be first? Yes, it should. And at the same time, that is probably the biggest, most important element of all. And if you get these other things off the table, and they're going to go through, Democrats control the Senate, nearly half the House and the White House, they're going to go through, get the funding for Israel and Ukraine, with hopefully monitoring of the money, off the table, and then there's nothing left except the border. And that becomes, if the Republicans can make it so, the only thing on the table. But it's a nasty, ugly, sloppy, horrible business. It always has been, more so now than ever, I think. I would like to see the border be number one and be front and center, but I don't think it's going to be until these other things are off the table.
Afford Anything talks about how to avoid common pitfalls, how to refine your mental models, and how to think about how to think.
Paula, while certainly you can mess up on $1 million a year, it is far less likely than it is on $30,000 a year.
Right.
I would meet wonderful people that were struggling with a budget that was super tight. It was 100%. You need to make more money.
Make smarter choices and build a better life.
Afford Anything, wherever you listen.
Now, we were just talking about Newt Gingrich, and Newt Gingrich did an interview with Politico, of all people. Popped just a couple of hours ago. Newt Gingrich has some advice for how Mike Johnson can stay Speaker. He says, you can't govern by shooting yourself in the head every day. Probably pretty good idea. He said... You know, talking about Matt Gaetz and Marjorie Taylor Greene, and said, how would you rate his handling of the situation so far? Newt Gingrich said, I think actually he's doing a pretty decent job considering how almost impossible it is. He's patient. He's calm. He's trying to understand whether or not there are paths that might work and trying to come up with formulas that enable him to get something out of the House. Frankly, the danger for the hard right is that if they teach 120 or 130 members that the only way to get anything done is to work with the Democrats, they'll end up with much worse legislation than they would if they would actually work as a team, So it's a real challenge, I think, and I'm watching what he's doing, and I have great sympathy for how hard his job is, Newt Gingrich. Said, you know, he did a brave men die one, but once, coward dies a thousand deaths. And do you think that this is historically right now, and then if your party is dumb enough to punish them, the Speaker of the House, for doing what you honestly believe, then you shouldn't be there anyway. You know, the Republicans in the House of Representatives long ago passed House Resolution 2, House Resolution number 2, which would secure our border, deal with illegal aliens. The Democrats would drive a stake through its heart and drink its blood before they'd even take a vote on it, because the Lizard King, Schumer, is an open borders, anti-American. He's not on our side. He's a Democrat. He's the Lizard King of the Democrats. So the House has a bill, House Resolution 2, on the border that they passed. The Senate has their Senate version of the bill, which opens up the border, sends a bunch of judges down there to process illegal aliens into the country, puts them in your daughter's bedroom, and gives them your car and your school. The Democrats have the Senate version of the bill. The House passed their version of the bill, but the Senate won't take it up. And they certainly won't pass it because the Lizard King. So the Republicans can talk all day long about their plan for the border, but Schumer has already blown it up, and he will blow it up again. You know, Ted Cruz actually did introduce a Senate version of House Resolution 2. And again, H.R. 2, House Resolution 2, passed the House last year. And the Senate will not take it up because they're not on our side. In the meantime, there are all these other moving parts out there. Speaker of the House is trying to restore regular order, restore normal, and remember normal. And the Democrats have the Senate, and they don't have a majority in the House, but it's a very slender, very slim majority for the Republicans in the House. And then, of course, the sock puppet, Joe Biden, is in the White House. So a lot of it is dead on arrival, you know. But Ted Cruz did announce that he introduced the Comprehensive Border Security Amendment to the National Security Supplemental. And this is everything just added on to other bills. No standalone bills, which is what Mike Johnson is trying to bring back, you know, normal government. And Ted Cruz, he introduced it back in December. Introduced it on my birthday, December 12th. And what has Chuck Schumer done with that? He's buried it in a shallow grave. Because that's what they do. He's a corrupt man. The whole damn party's corrupt. Now, I mentioned that Newt Gingrich did an interview with Politico. And he was asked about much of this. And then Politico published whatever they published. I don't know if they published the entire thing. But he was asked, Newt Gingrich was, and I think you could fairly say he was a very successful Republican Speaker of the House. He said, the question was, it seems clear at this point that if Mike Johnson passes Ukraine aid with Democratic support, he'll face some sort of motion to vacate to kick him out of the speakership. What do you think he should prioritize, passing Ukraine aid or keeping his speakership? And Newt Gingrich responded by saying, brave men die but once, a coward dies 100 deaths. I think it's 1,000 deaths, but okay. And the reporter said, so pass Ukraine aid. And Newt said, do what you think is historically right. And then if your party is dumb enough to punish them for doing what you honestly believe, then you shouldn't be there anyway. Well, okay. You can say that. That's Speaker Newt Gingrich's advice. And said, you know, what are you going to do? You going to turn and run around every day, stick your finger up in the air and see whether Matt Gaetz blows on it? Newt Gingrich said, you know, Marjorie Taylor Greene, Matt Gaetz. I like Matt Gaetz. Marjorie Taylor Greene is fun. It's fun to have, you know, dissenting voices. The Democrats have no dissenting voices. They goose-step together on every issue every day. And he was asked, Newt was, do you ever look at the House of Representatives and think, if I was Speaker, I could get these knuckleheads in line? That's the question from the Democrat reporter calling him knuckleheads, right? And Newt said, if you can't keep them in line, or he said, pardon me, you can't keep them in line because the technology's changed. They have the ability to make noise. They have the ability to go on television. They have the ability to use the internet to raise money from the people who only know who they are because they saw them on television. So what do they care? It is a very different universe, isn't it? And Newt said, I would blame head on the people who are acting like selfish idiots. I would just say, you're the people giving the Democrats working control. As long as you think that's a great success, well, you must be doing the right thing, handing it over to the Democrats. It's a crazy situation. Why do you think Speaker Johnson hasn't said that, the reporter said. And Newt said, I think that he's much more disciplined and patient man than I am. I think he's a much more disciplined and patient man than I am. And I've got to say, I agree that Johnson seems calm, steady. He's an adult. He's not Nancy Pelosi. He's not one of these crazy Democrats like Schumer. He's a steady hand, and he is more disciplined and more patient than most people would be, certainly. Newt thinks so, too. All right, let me take another, because a lot of people want to talk about this. It's a big deal. And then I want to get to the Israeli strike on Iran yesterday and our insane news media. And we got another transgender would-be mass murderer in Montgomery County, Maryland, that the news media just won't mention that it's a transgender person, a young woman, 18 years old, pretending to be a young man. And the news media just leaves that out of the telling of the story. You know, transgender massacre at Christian school in Nashville, Tennessee. Transgender murder at Club Q in Colorado Springs. Mass murder at Club Q in Colorado Springs. Another would-be transgender mass murderer was going to attack schools in Colorado Springs also until his sister turned him in. Got some transgender loony style. You might begin to think there's a mental illness in there somewhere. Let's take another phone call. Let's go to Jonathan calling from Centerville, Virginia. Jonathan, you're on the Chris Plant Show.
Good morning, Chris. Spectacular hey. To speak to you, as always.
Welcome.
I wanted to point out, I know most of your listeners, because they're exceptionally intelligent, will know this and understand it, but whether they've fully thought it through, maybe I can shed some light. And I'm actually stealing a point from the great Dan Bongino. He's been speaking a lot in the last week or so about what a Hakeem Jeffries speakership would mean with regards to the 2024 election. We know that it's going to be contested. We saw what happened in 2020. They're going to hit the gas full on. They're not going to be hitting the brakes because they cannot let Trump back into office. He's going to win, but they're going to contest it. And if we give the speakership to Hakeem Jeffries, my fear is we end up with the election going to the House of Representatives to be adjudicated. In which case, with all the morons like Ken Buck and his ilk that pose as Republicans, which are really just big establishment uniparty morons, I think we end up with Biden 2.0 and another 4 years of which we can't handle. That'll be the failure of this republic.
Yeah. Well, look, the Democrats are always playing the long game, and too many Republicans are running around throwing rocks right now. The Democrats are they're nothing if not disciplined, and they marshal their forces. And you're right. And Hakeem Jeffries is an extremist and a radical, and he's next in line in the Democrats pool to be Speaker of the House. He's an extremist. He's a radical. He's a filthy, corrupt, anti-American, racist, anti-Semite. Other than that, he's, actually, that does make him the perfect Democrat, doesn't it, Jonathan? And there is that possible scenario, Jonathan, where the Republicans screw it up so badly that the Democrats can kick him to the curb and take the Speaker's gavel, and then we're I mean, look, we'd be scrod on an everyday basis on all legislation if Hakeem, then they'd have the House, the Senate, and the White House. They would ride roughshod over all things American, all things Western civilization. It'd be bad news for humankind if the Democrats got the Speaker's gavel. And the Republicans, it would be historic buffoonery if the Republicans set themselves up for that kind of catastrophic failure.
But isn't that what they do, my friend? Right? We give them, they seize defeat from the jaws of victory constantly.
Yep.
Because of their insanity, not even within the party, but just as a general rule. And I love the discussion. We should have discussion, like you said, with the Marjorie Taylor Greens and the Matt Gaetzes. I love them both.
Yeah.
But at the same time, we cede control to the bad guys, to the evildoers.
Yep. Yeah, the stakes are too high.
Anyway.
Yeah, you're right. Jonathan, thank you for the call. I know 100 million people agree with you, and it's, you know, politics is a crazy game. It's a tough game. It's complicated. There are a lot of rules. There are a lot of, but trying to kick out the speaker now is a terrible idea. And so, well, where's the bill on the border? Well, H.R. 2 was passed by the House. Ted Cruz introduced the Senate equivalent in the Senate December 12th of last year. And Chuck Schumer, the Lizard King, is in charge over there, so they haven't taken it up, nor should we expect that they will take it up. The House could pass any bill, and the more secure it made the border, the more Chuck Schumer would kill it, and the more Joe Biden wouldn't vote for it, because they are an open borders party. And you have to win the election in November And don't hurt yourself on the way as a party and as a mission on the way to Election Day. First, do no harm. You know, the Hippocratic Oath for doctors. And the Obama White House used to say, don't do stupid stuff. And they marshal discipline inside their White House because they're very disciplined. And they enjoy being disciplined also. Crazy. All right, now let's listen. Jonathan, thank you very much. It's gonna continue to be, obviously, a major issue, but I'd like to give the Republican Speaker of the House, a calm, cool, intelligent person, the opportunity to succeed and not take away the opportunity to succeed. Again, border first, I would like that. Well, they already passed H.R. 2. Senate has their ability, but you know, this is the division of power, and there's only so much you can do about it, but one of the things you have to do is make the case to the public in order to win the argument. Restoring regular order, having single subject bills that go through committee like a normal Western civilization kind of legislature, that would be welcome news. These everything in the kitchen sink in all the bills that nobody reads. Enough of that. Enough of that. All right, now let's get to another big story from yesterday, because there was a one of the funny moments yesterday with the Democrat Party being pro-jihad, pro-Iran, pro-Hamas, anti-Israel, anti-American, was at Columbia University, Ivy League. Barack Obama went there. And Ilhan Omar's daughter, named Isra Hirsi, who's an extremist and a radical and an anti-Semite, a genocidal lunatic, she was suspended from Barnard College, the ladies' part of Columbia University, for her involvement in anti-Israel protests there. And she should probably be jailed for 22 years, like Enrique Tarrio of the Proud Boys, who has been jailed for 22 years over January 6th when he was in a hotel room in Baltimore on January 6th. He wasn't even there, wasn't even in the city, wasn't at the Capitol. But Representative Radical Extremist Jihadi Democrat Representative Ilhan Omar, her daughter, Isra Hirsi, not the same last name, a lot of that going on, revealed Thursday that she had been suspended from Barnard College over involvement in disruptive anti-Israel protests on Columbia University's Morningside campus, at which scores of demonstrators were arrested. I believe 100 or more than 100 were arrested. Really should have had the nightstick applied to them, too. Should have been bludgeoned and cudgeled, billy clubs, thrown in the back of paddy wagons. Both anti-Irish slurs, billy club and paddy wagon. I just received notice that I'm one of three students suspended for standing in solidarity with Palestinians facing genocide. They're not facing genocide. They're promoting genocide. They're trying to inflict genocide. And you are a useful idiot, the 21-year-old wrote on X. I'm an organizer with CU up Columbia University, Apartheid Divest. It's not apartheid in Israel. But she's calling for this radical, you know, divest, boycott, sanction, BDS, boycott, sanction, divest. She's calling for boycotts of Israel because too many Jews. She raised by a Muslim radical who's an extremist, presumably raised. I've never been reprimanded or received any disciplinary warnings. That's probably why you're a radical. Maybe your parents should have raised you with a little discipline. And, you know, your father, is her father also her uncle? I'm a little unclear on that. Hirsi was one of more than 100 protesters who were hauled away in handcuffs by the NYPD on Thursday afternoon as they erected a tent city on the campus of more than $90,000 per year Ivy League school. Now, we haven't heard from them yet, but let me share with you what it sounded like when we come back on the campus of Columbia University and what they were chanting. So the sons and daughters of Democrat members of Congress at elite $90,000 a year Ivy League schools in New York, New York. And they accuse, it's the old Russian playbook, they accuse the other guy of being genocidal when they're defending themselves against genocidal maniacs. I think the Jewish people know something about genocide. But these little radicals, wait till you hear what it sounded like there. And then a group of real Americans showed up with American flags and Israeli flags. You'll never believe what their chant sounded like. Yeah, so the daughter of Ilhan Omar going to Barnard College, the Columbia University, she on her Twitter feed, her X feed, describes herself. Well, first of all, she has the Soviet hammer and sickle next to the words angry black girl. Now, her jihadi lunatic mother, Democrat Congresswoman Ilhan Omar, really is damn lucky that she is not a set of bleached bones in the windblown desert with black scorpions crawling over her, thanks to the United States of America. She fled her beep-hole country where her beep-hole family worked for the beep-hole government there, which were socialist pigs that ruined the place. And now her daughter, an ungrateful radical extremist, angry black girl, literally with a it's the Soviet hammer and sickle icon as her identifier. These are communist jihadis. These are fifth columnists. There is a fifth column living among us in the United States of America, and they are here to undo the United States of America. They are, in effect, the Democrat Party. 108 arrested yesterday at Columbia University at the pro-Palestine rally. And what do you hear? I want to play it for you. A group of real Americans showed up in the middle of all this anarchy and behaved as normal people behave. And the jihadis are in Toronto, Canada, too. And they're genocidal anti-Semites and they're anti-Western. And the Ilhan Omar family, also pro-Soviet communist, very much in the mainstream of the Democrat Party, the news media doesn't raise an eyebrow as to any of this.
John brings his skewed sense of humor. Jeff brings tips to cut strokes off your next round. Together, it's those weekend golf guys.
They'll pay a lot of money to PXG and Titleist and Callaway and on and on and on, right? How many yards do you think you're going to pick up with that extra driver? I think I can get an extra 5 to 10. What if I give you 15 to 20? Can you pay me more?
Jeff Smith, right? Teaches on the sliding scale.
Those weekend golf guys, the podcast, part of the Believe Network. Just search BLEAV on YouTube or wherever you listen.